Hello and welcome to Ace Your Space, Declutter Your Life, Free Your Time, and Reclaim Your Energy. I am Leanne Pruitt, your host, and I am so excited for today's interview. We have Laurie Bryant-Woolridge with us. Hello, Laurie. Thank you so much for being here today.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
We are going to have a lot of fun. I am so impressed by Laurie's bio. I've got to like tell you guys everything that she does. Well, I'm sure this isn't even all that you do, but let me read this to you guys. Laurie Bryant-Woolridge is an intuitive love coach certified by the International Coach Federation, an author, a speaker, an angel scribe, and founder of Soul Innovations Coaching Group. Laurie is the creator of Soul Sexy Transformations, an 8-week program designed to teach women self-love, acceptance, and sexual ownership. And Successful Single Ready, a 6-month program to teach and empower successful women to attract the love and relationships they desire and deserve. Laurie is an Emmy Award-winning writer and author of 8 books, including Weapons of Mass Seduction and The Power of Wow, a guide to unleashing the confident, sexy you. Laurie is an entertaining motivational speaker who has brought her empowerment workshops to organizations around the country and Mexico. She is the health and wellness director for the International Life Lux Jazz Experience and a founding expert of the Living Healthy List, a go-to source for honest and reliable information on health, wellness, and personal development and fun. Woo, Laurie! What a mouthful!
Yes.
And you're here with us. That's so fabulous.
And it just tells you how many years I have banked in life.
Exactly. So clearly you are a tremendous coach and you help people in so many ways. So tell me, how did you get started on all of this?
Yeah, well, thank you for that compliment. I appreciate that. You know, as a kid, I knew there were 2 things that I loved. One I was good at, which was writing. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I was just curious and enamored with, which was love. And I used to collect, I wasn't a cartoon and comic kid, but I used to collect every week these little comics that were love is, and they would give you a definition of what is. Love is, you know, never having to say you're sorry. Love is, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so I was first published when I was 10 in the Oakland Tribune on the kids page. But that cemented the knowledge that I wanted to be a writer. And so throughout my life, I was trying to figure out what kind of writing I wanted to do. And, you know, I did a little dabbling in newspaper and magazine and television. I won the Emmy, but then that wasn't it. It just didn't feel like the place. So I was working in New York at the ABC network and I started a novel. And that's where everything clicked in. And that's where it all started. And what was crazy is, I realized kind of early on that I saw fiction as a self-help vehicle. And that if I could write storylines and characters and their concerns could resonate with readers, they might be able to find a different way of looking at something or find themselves or whatever. And I would even promote the books in kind of non-traditional ways. I would do workshops around the themes of the books. And so that led me, people coming to me and asking for, can I talk to you individually, you know, blah, 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 blah. And that's how I started coaching. And so then I went and got training and I went and got certified. And that's, so all my books were about love and relationships, the coaching about love and relationships. And then the whole spirituality thing kicked in and that became the baseline in terms of what I do. So one of the things that I learned was that I was a writer, absolutely, but I was actually a teacher, and the writing became my vehicle for teaching. So that's kind of how it all got started.
Wow, I love that. That's like really fascinating. So most all of your books are fiction. You have fiction as well as nonfiction books.
Most of them are fiction. I have one nonfiction book, and then that came out in 2011. I've taken a break to do some life stuff, but I'm coming back to writing long form again, and so I'm working on some more nonfiction stuff.
Oh, I love that. That's beautiful. Yeah. So you know what? I wanted to have you on this interview series because, you know, clutter is not just physical. Clutter is really anything that gets in the way of you and what you want in life, your goals, your dreams, you know, all of it. Right. And, you know, when you and I, there are so many different things that we could talk about, but when you and I were talking, we really kind of were talking about how relationships we're in now, you know, past relationships, all that kind of stuff is, can be huge, a huge source of clutter as well. So I wanted to ask you, we want to focus a little bit on that, on relationship clutter, but first of all, tell me, what does relationship clutter look like?
I call it relationship residue.
Okay.
Because, and but it's the same idea, right?
Yes.
Because just like in your physical home and your clutter, we hang on to mementos and things like that, that all of a sudden they're all over the house. Relationships are the same way. As we start as a kid and as we live our lives, we collect all kinds of residue that if we don't work through, you know, and that it looks like anger, it looks like regret, it looks like fear and disappointment and guilt, all those things that we kind of collect and hang on to as we go from relationship to relationships. And then that becomes actualized in our behavior. Mm-hmm. So that can be self-sabotage or self-doubt, enabling, people-pleasing, all that kind of stuff. So it's all about the stuff we carry from relationships to relationships that get in the way of having the love life that we want.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's beautiful. And it's mental clutter, and it's almost like when we have those experiences, they set up those scripts that run in our subconscious and we keep reenacting that. Mm-hmm. And if we keep doing the same thing over and over again, we're going to keep getting the same thing.
Absolutely. And the thoughts, those mental scripts, they become what we believe. Mm-hmm. And then that becomes what we see the world to be and our place in the world.
Yeah.
And then we actualize our behaviors based on that.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's a mess.
It is. Oh, my goodness. So, okay, so it's a mess. How in the world do we begin to declutter our love life and get rid of this and start handling this relationship residue?
Yeah,
or even I'm not even going to say our love life, our relationship life, because it could be anything. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think that that's a good point. People think when we think relationships, we think romantic, mm-hmm. right? And our relationships are every encounter, interaction we have with other people.
Right.
And that could be a 10-minute relationship or a 10-year relationship. It doesn't matter. So you have to get started by recognizing, right? And understanding that you are the co-creator of every relationship you are in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the big reckonings, because we tend to think that our relationships and all the clutter is because if they did that, I would have done this. If they had been a different kind of person, you know, if things would have been better, or if I had been better at choosing, then this wouldn't happen. But that's not where the clutter begins. It's recognizing what your role is, because mm-hmm. it's the only place you have control into changing, and then doing the reflective work to figure out what, you know, where we are, what is going on, why I had those, you know, those reactions and actions. And then later determining what kind of relationship do you want with a partner, with your parent, with your child, with your coworkers? But more importantly, what kind of partner do you want to be? And that's where we get all we forget that part of it. We think we're just supposed to accept as is, and then we react to that. But it's really much more, we have much more control in creating the kind of relationships we want.
So is the idea that you, if you determine the kind of partner that you want to be, that's the kind of partner you attract, or is it is as simple as that?
Absolutely. It is as simple as that, but that's a mindset that's really next level that you get to, that you begin to understand. And that's one of the great things about recognizing the need to declutter your relationship residue. Mm-hmm. Because what happens is we are nothing but energy and we only attract the same energy.
Right.
That's why people have these deja vu relationships, same relationships, same problems, same issues, same outcome. The person just has a different face so you can tell them apart. That's because our energy is what we're attracting. And right. So the more clogged our energy is, the more we don't understand. The space that we have to maneuver in is crowded with all this residue and all this clutter.
Right.
Then you're not going to be able to attract what you need and what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, I know some of our audience listen to this, they may think, ah, oh, that's just that woo-woo energy stuff. But the fact of the matter is, it's quantum physics for one thing. Like, you know, it's energy and we're all atoms moving around. But also, you know, when you think about like you attract what you put out, it's also kind of as simple as like when you think, all right, I really want a red Ford Explorer. When you look around, you see red Ford Explorers all the time. And, you know, they were there, but energetically, you know, you see them and it's just almost as simple as that. Would you agree with me on that, Laurie?
Absolutely. What people, if it is quantum physics, so if you don't want to do the woo-woo spiritual thing, it is based in science. Exactly. And the idea that universal law, just like gravity, if I drop something, gravity is going to work whether I like it or not. Whether it's some old teddy bear or it's a precious heirloom, gravity is going to happen whether I like it or not. Mm-hmm. Law of attraction is the exact same concept. And we're using it all the time. We just yes. don't know it.
Exactly.
We just don't connect the dots. And the work that you do, the work that I do, we're trying to connect the dots for people mm-hmm. like that. And the recognizing, people think thoughts are just these little wisps of wonder that are like in and out.
Yeah.
But they create vibrations which create energy, and that's the energy that attracts.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's love or whether it's our red car, we are attracting what we want in our life, whether we like it or not, based on the quality of our thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I love that. That's perfect. So now let's back up a little bit. The title of this online show is Ace Your Space, Declutter Your Life, Free Your Time, Reclaim Your Energy. So what does Ace Your Space mean to you?
I think Ace Your Space is freeing up energetic space in order for you to be able to see the possibilities and also giving yourself room to maneuver towards those possibilities so that they become probabilities and then actualities.
Got it. I love that. That's a really good answer.
thank you.
So I'm going to dive in a little different angle here for a second. So what has your relationship been to physical clutter like throughout your life, and how has it impacted you, would you say?
Yeah. So in my physical space, for the most part, I'm pretty organized.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and my kids would say I have a place for everything and everything has a place.
Right.
Though I clearly have fallen down on the mothering because they never could seem to get those things into that place. But that's a whole nother show. So that's pretty clear. It's my work and creative space that can be everything from a meditation, you know, like retreat area to a whole bomb went off.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my clutter revolves around paper, like manuscripts and drafts and coaching worksheets and, you know, client homework and stuff like that, that actually gets organized into piles and binders. And then sometimes piles of binders.
Got it.
The other problem too is I am a creative person, kind of artsy and stuff like that. So I can see the possibilities and everything. So somebody's trash is like, oh my God, I could use this for the retreat and turn that into a blah, 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 blah. So I have this big tub that is just like, I don't know, it could be, I have it marked imagination. Somebody else could mark it recycling. I don't know. But that's where I get, you know, and so depending on how, what's going on, how busy I am, how hectic it is, I can get really messy. Mm-hmm. And that then creates this kind of, you start feeling like out of sorts in your office. It's like you don't, it's not, you don't feel right in it. So then I have to, I've noticed it's visual noise, it's sensory overload, mm-hmm. and I have to take the time to reshuffle the piles or file the piles or, you know, but yeah.
Well, you know, there's a wonderful woman, her name is Faye Wolf, and she has written a book on like decluttering for creatives. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that, you know, one of her tenets is that decluttering is creativity, which I love that. So that's kind of interesting.
You it's can, all perspective, right?
Exactly. Exactly. But, you know, but that's, you know, that's, you do bring up such a good point. It can really be, the clutter can be physical noise in our space. It's like our brains see it and then have to figure out what to do with it before they get it, our brains get to what we want to focus on. So it really does, it is taking up some of that mental
bandwidth. Mm-hmm. And you know, you can tell, right? You know how like when you clean your room and you change your linen and you just walk in and you have this emotional sigh. It's like, And when your body's not feeling that way because of all the visual noise and stuff, you know, it's like, okay, there's something I can do about it.
Got you. All right. Now I want to get back to this whole really cool, you know, relationship residue, relationship clutter discussion that we're having. When people realize that their relationships or that their engagement with the, you know, with their relationships, what they're thinking about their relationships aren't working and, you know, decide to make a change, like maybe they start recognizing that the same things keeps repeating in their life and they want to make a change, what kind of pitfalls do they run into? What can they run up against that, you know, can stop them or be a real pitfall for them?
Yeah, I think there are two big ones that come to mind. And one is thinking, like I said before, thinking and acting like the answer lies in other people's behaviors, mm-hmm. or that they themselves should be choosing better relationships. That's one, because then it's never getting to the answer. It's never getting to the root of the issue. Mm-hmm. But another really, really big one when you're dealing with emotional and relationship clutter is becoming the emotions that you attach to the relationship. So instead of feeling regret, you become regretful. Yes. Instead of feeling anger, you become angry. Instead of feeling betrayed, you become the betrayed. And what that does, once you become what you feel, then your life takes on a whole different way, right? Because thoughts are attached to it, beliefs are attached to it, perceptions about your role in the world and how the world treats you, and then your actions follow suit. And that's a much heavier lift. That's a much deeper pit to fall into and try to get to, you know, recalibrate and get transform and come out of, right? So the thing is to recognize the emotion as clutter. Do not judge it or yourself for feeling it, right? I am feeling betrayed. Absolutely. That happened. I feel betrayed, but I'm not going to judge myself. What did I do? What did I do wrong? Blah, blah, blah. I'm not even going to judge the other person because you know what? There's nothing I can do about it.
Right.
And just work on what part did I play in the happiness or the demise of my relationship that led me to that place. And that's where you begin to work. But if you, those two things, you know, thinking that it's always the other person and that you are become the emotions that are the leftover, that kind of has you starting from a place that's much more difficult to climb out of.
Yeah, we know that that makes so much sense. I'm thinking it's like you have an emotion, you feel it, you process it, you move on, versus you're actually putting a label on yourself. Mm-hmm. and approaching everything from with the lens through this label, like being the betrayed person or the angry person or the what was the first one, like resentful,
yeah,
person, that sort of thing. So that's really good. I like that. That's a good way to look at that. Now, so what tips would you give us to help us free up our time and our energy?
I think one big one is stay in the moment. Mm-hmm. Stay in the moment, because in the moment is where the joy is, but more importantly, are just as important. In the moment is where the proper questions that have answers you have some semblance of control over or knowledge of or can get to, those are all in the moment. And that's going to help you move on instead of spiral. When you're thinking about what could be, what might happen, what's going to happen if that happens, you're just building anxiety. And you cannot solve anything because all your questions are revolving around stuff you don't have any control or knowledge of. Mm-hmm. Backwards and lamenting that, oh my God, why did I do that? How could I let that happen again? Blah, 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 blah. You have it's done. You have no control anymore. So all you can do is learn from it and move on and just let go. But if you stay there, your tendency is to become sadder or more depressed. So the best thing that you can do to free up your time, your space that you can see the possibilities, your mind and emotions that you can make good thoughts, turn good thoughts into good decisions, are going to be to stay in the moment.
You know, that reminds me, one of my mentors is a guy named David Nagel. And I was in a workshop that he did not long ago, and he held up like an hourglass, and he told us all to get an hourglass. I haven't done that yet. I need to. He says, but you know, when you look at it, you know, you see what's, you know, that it's like here, and the, you know, the sand is running through this little center part. Right. Up here, you don't know. That's the future. You don't know. And down, what's in the bottom is in the past. The only space that we have to operate from is that little center point. And that's it. That's everything. That's the time is right there.
It really is. And what's amazing about that, if you stay in the moment, you are literally living life as opposed to just moving through it. So it's a happy place.
I love that. That's a great idea. And now I really do want to go get that hourglass so I can put the arrow. Stay here in the center.
That's true.
That's so funny. All right. I have a question for you.
Yes.
When was the last time you did something for the first time?
That would be 2 weeks ago. And I, for the very first time, I built a bookcase, you know, I put furniture together. I know, it's a little embarrassing.
I love it. Great.
So there were a lot of screws left. And I swear to God, there's something backwards on the back of it, but I couldn't get it off to change it. But 2 weeks later, it's still standing and it's holding stuff. So.
It's molding together. It's doing what it's supposed to. I love that. That's beautiful. All right. One more question. Another question for you. So you're about to fight in a boxing title match. What song is playing when you enter the ring?
No. Where do you get these questions? I know. Okay. Well, first thing I'm going to tell you, it's never going to happen because I'm a lover, not a fighter. Should it happen? I would definitely have to, you know, the greatest of all time would be Muhammad Ali, and I would, the soundtrack from his movie, The Greatest, which would be The Greatest Love of All, which is on brand.
So that
would be my song.
I love that. That's great. Those are great answers, Lori. So I think you have a gift for the audience.
I do. And I'm really excited to be able to offer it. It's called Declutter Your Love Life, Making Space for the Love You Crave. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a workbook that I've kind of repurposed and renamed that comes out of one of the Soul Sex Sea Transformation programs. Mm-hmm. But it's really looking at, to help you begin the reflective work that you need. And so there's articles and there's worksheets and there's reflective questions that are going to help you begin to first recognize the clutter and recognize it as clutter.
Got it.
And then to kind of assess your partnership readiness. And that's one of the things that I do as an intuitive love coach, is help people assess their readiness to have the kind of relationship they say that they want. So this is going to help you. And what I love about this material is, again, like we said, it doesn't matter if you're wanting to attract a partner or you want to improve the relationship that you have that's already, whether it's with a romantic partner or, you know, any kind of familiar or friendship. So that's part of it. And I'm really excited to share it.
Wonderful. I think that's going to be so useful. I think I need to do it. I know I need to do it. I can't wait to see it. That's going to be such a great gift, Lori. Thanks so much for providing everyone.
Yeah.
I know that they're going to love it. Now, I'm going to ask you one final question. If you could leave people with one action that they can take to help them declutter their life, some aspect about their life, what would that be?
I would say recycle your love. You know, because there's worse than hoarding love and waiting for somebody special to share it with, is to allow that residue, that clutter, to fester and become like anger and, fear, right? Fear, stepping into it again. So we recycle everything else. Love is something that we're supposed to keep in the flow. So recycle that unrequited love, that secret love, that betrayed love, that, you know, that once in a lifetime amazing love that has ended because it was complete. Recycle, send it back out, let it, you know, do its thing up in the stars and the universe, and then just flow and come back. And one of the things that you will recognize when you unclutter your life is that when it's cluttered, you can't receive. You can't recognize love when it's all around you. And so if you declutter and recycle, this is such an, you know, ecological and environmentally sound thing, you are going to get back law of attraction, the same love that you're putting out. So it's all just a really happy cycle. So yeah, recycle your love.
That's beautiful. I love that. Thank you, Lori. That's great.
Welcome.
And Lori, thank you so much. I have so enjoyed talking with you today. This has been a lovely interview. And I know that the audience is going to just really, really get a lot out of hearing what you have to say.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me, but also understanding that clutter is so much more than just my messy office and closet.
Well, yeah, okay, we won't talk about that. So audience, thank you so much for being here and listening. I know that you guys enjoyed this just as much as I did, and I want you to look tomorrow in your email for another set of really great Acer Space interviews coming your way. And until then, I will talk with you later. Bye-bye.